The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm here with my co-host, husband, partner, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Very good today.
And we have a special guest who has been on the show before, attorney Richard Finucci. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackie. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Rick.
Thanks for being here with us.
Well, I'm thrilled to be back. Thanks for asking me.
We're looking forward to a really fabulous discussion with you today. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We talk about real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been appraising, listing, and selling real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or give us a call at 570-344-6724. And if there's a topic we haven't discussed and you think it would be a good discussion, give us a call. Maybe we'll do it.
Check us out on Facebook at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. You can view our listings or search the MLS listings or look at our videos or listen to archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Okay, Attorney Richard Finucci, please tell me about you. What do you do? Where do you do it from?
Well, Jackie, I've been a practicing attorney in Pennsylvania for approximately 25 years now, and my office is currently located in Peckville. I've been there for about 17 years. We will be moving shortly. We're buying a property not too far away on Main Street in Blakely, so we'll be moving in sometime in the spring of 2014. Later this year.
And you have a law partner?
I do. My brother and partner, Corey Colcharno. Corey specializes mostly in criminal defense of all kinds. And myself, my practice is more geared toward real estate, estate planning, municipal law, and a variety of other business type matters.
You have an excellent support staff.
I do. Nadine and Maureen are my right and left arm, and they are just invaluable to me.
And
they're fantastic.
They've been with you for a long time.
Long time.
All right. And I know that we have had some dealings with your office, and we love to work with you.
Well, thank you, Jackie. That's likewise.
Today, I thought we would talk about estates. Estate matters come up in real estate often. We have to deal with estate situations with people. We find ourselves listing homes or selling homes that are part of an estate, and problems do arise. So how do you want to kick off the discussion, please?
Well, maybe in terms of the little general discussion of what an estate is, you know, an estate is created after someone dies, after their personal representative, who is usually named by a will or by law. The estate is then created, you know, by the filing of the will or the opening of the estate at the Register of Wills office. And at that point, the personal representative has the opportunity to step in to the shoes of the decedent, essentially, and has the legal power to act, whether it's to sell the real estate, to liquidate all other assets, pay all bills and taxes, et cetera, and ultimately disperse to the beneficiaries who are entitled.
Well, as a realtor, I've seen estates properly set up and some that have been improperly set up, causing a lot of headaches, turmoil, and situations during a transaction. So can we talk about some things that relate to how they are properly and improperly set up, please?
Sure, Jackie. And, you know, it's very common that sometimes people don't even realize that they have an estate issue until usually the sale of a real estate that has been, you know, whether it's been in the family for generations or otherwise. But often the sale of real estate will often trigger an estate situation. But, you know, in general, Jackie, estate planning, you know, it has a lot of different aspects to it, and it can be very complex.
Very complicated.
Yes. It can be. And it, you know, varies with each person. It's very specific as to each your individual situation. But in terms of estates and how it plays in with real estate, you know, there are various things people can do during life to plan their estate regarding their home or other assets that they own. One way is, you know, setting up. The key to everything is setting things up in life, being prepared, having this all taken care of so that your heirs or your personal representatives, your family later on doesn't have to deal with these headaches.
So plan.
Plan.
Plan ahead.
That's the bottom line.
For the inevitable, because it's going to happen.
But one way is gifting. People often will gift real estate in terms of transferring the deed to their children, grandchildren. That's usually done for nominal consideration during life. It's a common method that is used in estate planning these days. The other way is through a will. If you don't want to transfer or give away your property during life, you can leave it in your will that the property goes to a certain person upon your death, and then your estate will be in charge of selling it. It could also be put into a trust during your lifetime, or with all those things, you know, with a trust or gifting, you can also retain what's called a life estate. And there's pros and cons to all of these things, depending on your situation and what your motivation is.
Right. So usually when we're involved in the situation and we see that it's an estate, we have to ask some questions, but of course we cannot give any kind of legal representation. One of the recent transactions we had, Pat, you want to talk about it?
No, it's okay. Let's hear you talk about
all
it.
Right.
You were the selling and I was the buying, right? Is that
right.
How that works?
Well, I was the listing agent, you were the buying agent, and the sellers did have a life estate set up where the mother had the life estate. She had the right to live in the home until she passed away. Yeah. It was actually deeded many years ago to the children.
Mm-hmm.
And she, the last several months of her life, was spent in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
So when she passed away in April and we went to sell it in October, there was a situation because of that life estate and her going to a nursing home. And it kind of delayed matters for a week or two. And the buyers were very upset, thought that, you know, this was should have all been taken care of prior to it even be listed on the market, but no one knew.
Yes. And, you know, Jackie, those situations occur all the time. You know, in the old days, it was a common practice for attorneys to, you know, when the parents wanted to transfer the deed, they would transfer the deed to the children, and they would reserve in the deed what's called a life estate, which is a reservation saying that the parent can live there through the rest of their natural life. That practice is still out there. However, it's not as practical today to do that, because what they today with, you know, people transfer the deed to the home for a lot of reasons, but the two primary reasons, the old days, it was always to avoid inheritance tax, where they say, I don't want my kids to pay inheritance tax. And that's still a reason. But the most prominent reason and reason why people look to do this today is for, you know, the nursing home, that their fear that if they ever had to come to go into a nursing home, that their home would be taken. And it can be. And that's under, you know, the Medicaid rules regarding look back, which, you know, is also a very integral part of estate planning. So, and that's a whole separate discussion on Medicaid, but essentially, you know, there's a look back of a 5 years from the time a person would enter a nursing home to, you know, if they were trying to get Medicaid eligibility, there would be an immediate look back of 5 years to see what, if anything, that person had owned or had transferred within the 5 years. Anything within that 5 years would be subject to be considered a usable resource, an accountable resource, and they would be rejected for Medicaid funding.
So the whole idea behind the life estate, is it because people, if the property is deeded to the children, that the person that really owned the house and lived in the house is able to stay there, that the children couldn't kick them out?
The purpose is to get the property out of the person's name. And once you transfer it to your children, understand you don't own it anymore. If you reserve a life estate,
you have the right to live there.
Yes, you have the right to live there, but understand that the legal definition of life estate is that the life tenant retains all of the rights and privileges associated with ownership. Technically, a life estate can be, you can transfer a life estate, you could mortgage a life estate, you have all the rights and privileges associated with ownership. The other side of the coin is, however, that for Medicaid purposes, a life estate is a countable resource.
Uh-huh.
So it's almost as though when you transfer it and retain a life estate, you've accomplished nothing if your main goal was to avoid, you know, the nursing home situation.
True story. This happened to my parents' friends. I will never forget it. And I still have to, I do hear about it from time to time from my mother. Her friends in New Jersey deeded the property to one of the daughters without a life estate. And the daughter turned around, convinced them to deed it to her, and she was going to take care of them and they could reside there for the remainder of their life. Turned around, kicked them out of the house, and sold it.
Yes. One of the biggest fears that I hear, and I too have seen those horror stories, and that's one of the biggest fears that you know, elderly clients have in contemplating whether or not to transfer over the deed. What we often do for those situations,
yes,
is
please.
Yeah, we often will draw up, if there is going to be a transfer, I almost routinely will draw up what's called a lease for life, which gives the parent, it's a separate private contract between
Smart.
The parents and
okay.
the children. It's not recorded. It's not placed anywhere.
Okay.
But it sort of protects the parents.
Takes care of that. Okay. Lease for life instead of a life estate.
It actually creates a life estate, which technically still has to be reported if the person was to go into the nursing home. But it all depends on the family situation as to how they handle that.
Okay. So the whole idea regarding planning, estate planning, is that the deed must be transferred 5 years prior to
yes.
the person going into a nursing home.
To avoid it being counted as a resource for Medicaid purposes. So once you get past the 5-year period, it's no longer considered a resource and it's
no longer
it's
an
done.
Issue.
Understand that the Medicaid only denies you coverage. They can't take the asset back. They can't compel you, the person who it's transferred to sell it. They just say, we'll deny you coverage if it was within, for this amount of time that it takes to exhaust whatever the value of the home was and your eligibility.
Okay. That's an excellent point. Yeah. Thank you. We're going to go to a break, but before we do, Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes. We have a 2-family home located at 407 Harrison Avenue in Scranton. For only $64,000. This home generates excellent rents. It is located close to the hospitals and universities. It has gas heat, hardwood floors, a stucco exterior, and front porches on both the first and second floors. Each unit has 6 rooms and 3 bedrooms. So if you're looking for an investment property, or if you want to live in one unit and have the other pay the mortgage, give us a call about 407 Harrison Avenue in Scranton for only $64,900.
Thank you, Pat. And I've read many housing and real estate predictions for 2014 because I am a curious person and I like to find out where we're headed, where we're going before we actually get there. But I don't usually put a lot of weight on predictions, but here's what they're saying. Some say the housing recovery has happened and the days of the buyer's market are long gone, while others say if the housing market was a baseball game, we are only in the 4th or 5th inning. The real estate recovery hinges on job growth and income and wage growth, and things there are not likely to change significantly or quickly. Some say it will be easier to obtain a mortgage in 2014, while others say it will be a little more difficult due to the recent mortgage rules that have changed. At the same time, there are many similarities in their predictions. In fact, all say they see mortgage rates increasing. Zillow even went as far as to predict rates will increase to 5% by the year's end. Home prices will continue to rise. Foreclosure activity will continue to slow. Housing affordability will worsen. Buyers afford less as home prices and interest rates go up. Other things to watch: more homeowners will return to positive equity in 2014, let's hope. Investments in multifamily apartments will wane. Condo development will remain on the back burner. And the rental action will swing back toward urban apartments. Recovery has been a long, hard road locally. I could say that here, it's far from behind us. Although our company, Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, did realize a 45% increase in sales in 2013 over 2012. We know that there's never the perfect market. We make the best of it by providing quality service and experience our clients can count on. There will always be someone who wants to attain the American dream and someone who needs to sell, and we enjoy making all that happen. We'll return in just a few moments with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. The real estate market is extremely active, and you want to make a move, but you don't know where to start, who to call, or how to make it happen. I'm Jackie Ruddy, and I know Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate can lead the way. Our quality service award-winning team will help you with buying and selling a home. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate has a proven track record and experience you can count on. Lean on us to show you the way. Call 570-344-6724. That's 570-344-6724. Or visit jready.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, where homes are open every day, all day long. Also, remember to tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jready.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. We're back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. And we have a special guest, Attorney Richard Finucci from Peckville. Good morning.
Good morning again, Jackie. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning.
We are enjoying our discussion regarding estates, and I'd like to get back to the part where we started off in the first segment where we were talking about gifting and willing and transferring real estate to a family member.
Yes, Jackie, understand that, you know, gifting or transferring of the deed during lifetime or the reservation of a life estate or the establishment of a trust, which we really didn't get into in any specifics, but that's another option a person has. These are all things that are done during a person's lifetime as part of their ultimate estate plan. These are all different options, and again, it depends on a person's individual situation. You know, short of all that, you know, at the very least, a person should properly have a last will and testament executed and prepared. You know, will doesn't really expire by time. A will has no power during life, but it only affects, you know, is effective upon death, rather. And it directs what would happen with regard to a person's home or all their assets, any or all of their assets upon their death. It also appoints a personal representative. So at the very least, having a will saves a lot of headaches down the road.
And aggravation. I'm sure you've seen a situation where someone died without a will. What happens then?
Well, there's a common misperception that when someone dies without a will, that the state takes everything.
Right.
I hear that over and over, and that is not true. It can be true, but only in very rare, if ever, circumstances. And, you know, Pennsylvania law says that if you die without a will, that dictates how your property will pass. That's also called dying intestate. When you die with a will, it's called dying testate. But the intestate law says that basically it goes according to family lineage, you know, descendancy. And as long as you have some living relative somewhere, no matter how distant, you know, the state doesn't get it. But, you know, that's the problem with not having a will, because not often people think, well, my family will get it. But often there's a person in their family that they may not want to wind up with their assets. And if you don't have a will, you know, that
you don't have a say.
You know, sometimes you have an estranged child or an estranged family member that without a will, you know, it's wide open.
All right, Rick, let me ask you a question. How long do you have to set up an estate from the time somebody dies? And are there penalties if it's not set up within a certain time frame?
Well, Patrick, it's certainly prudent to set up an estate or open the estate as soon as practical after someone dies. But there are no real time limits. Keep in mind, however, that there are when you own assets, anything you own at the time of your death will be subject to inheritance tax, with allowable exceptions and exemptions. But per the inheritance tax rules, after 9 months from a person's death, inheritance tax interest and penalties start to run. So between date of death and up to 9 months, there are no penalties. In fact, if you pay within 3 months, you get a discount. 3 months to 9 months, it's at face value. And after 9 months, penalties run. But other than those, there are no real deadlines. And very often, people wait for whatever reason, whether they just can't deal with it or they don't have a need to, or they feel they don't have a need to, and it's not till later on, sometimes years later, they realize we were supposed to open this estate. And sometimes that's only pointed out, as in the sale of a real estate.
Exactly.
It comes up in that regard.
My father had, I still remember, a discussion with someone, a listing that we had, and they did not open an estate, and he practically begged them to open the estate, and there was an argument that occurred because of that, and they never opened the estate. And when they got to the closing, they were very, very surprised, just like you said, at all the excessive fees they had to pay.
Well, you know, good point, Jackie, and again, people don't often realize, and it happens for a lot of reasons, but folks need to understand that if you own real estate and you die owning that real estate, no one can sell that real estate unless an estate is created and a personal representative is appointed. Only that personal representative has the power to then transfer the real estate. And the second part of that is that, as I said earlier, inheritance taxes are due and owing. So attorneys representing a buyer in real estate, we look when we know a property is coming out of a deceased person or an estate. We look for whether the estate was properly handled, whether it was properly opened, and most importantly, whether or not any inheritance tax has been paid. And very often you see, Jackie, when estates are the sellers, that sometimes at closing the inheritance tax has not been taken care of. We escrow for that, and that's provided for usually between the buyer and the seller for after the fact. Because if that inheritance tax is not paid, it becomes a lien on the property, which the buyer is not taking free and clear if a lien is there. So.
And the seller never wants you to, and that escrow that you're talking about is withholding a certain amount of money. Usually you go a little higher than what you anticipate just so that you have a cushion there. It's in an account. It's separate from any other account. It's money that you have to keep according to the guidelines of the state, correct?
Correct. And it's just prudent. You withhold money from the seller's proceeds, ensuring that they will do what they're supposed to do and pay the inheritance tax and file the appropriate return. Often we set up an escrow between the attorney for the buyer, attorney for the seller. The money is held post-closing. And once the estate matters have been straightened out, we issue the money. And once they get clearance from the Pennsylvania Department of Revenue, we'll then release the money, what's left, to the seller.
Well, the point being, you can't pay your bills out of it. It's nobody's personal account, but it's governed by strict laws, and it's held there, but the seller's never happy about it. But you have to do it.
It's necessary in order for them to convey good title, in order for them to sell the property. It's an absolute necessity.
Right. Okay, getting back to estates and our discussion regarding properly and improperly planning, what else would you like to tell us?
I've had several situations throughout my career, Jackie, where, you know, and this happens a lot with where a property has been handed down from generation to generation. Grand parents, great grandparents, the grandparents, the parents to children. And this is common in especially Northeast Pennsylvania, where you often have generations of family continuing to live in the family homestead, and more so with, you know, those families that, you know, had not had a lot of means during their lifetime, and one dies, you know, the wife continues to live there, or a child continues to live there, or several of the children, the siblings, and it just keeps going on and on. And one, there's never a need for them to have ever had go to a lawyer to get guidance. Other times they just never had a title search done on the property. And so many times we see where a listing comes up with contract, goes under contract, and it comes over to us, and we see, well, the person who is listed on the contract has been, is really been dead for 15 years. And it's not a good thing, because the longer it goes on, the longer it's going to take to clear up, you know, and often people just don't realize. And that's another reason why proper planning now in life can avoid, you know, a whole series of headaches for even for those who don't have a lot. You know, having just owning a piece of real estate is enough to need to take care of it.
To sit down with someone like yourself that does this day in, day out, because when you opened the show, you said that one of the things that you do is estate planning and real estate and municipal law.
Yes, yes. So many times we've gotten a situation where people believe they had owned it because it was left to them by, you know, a mother, a father, a great grandparent, and only to find out that the deed is still invested in the name of the great grandfather who died in 1940. And at that point, now you have multiple, and by the way, died without a will. And what happens is it compounds it even more, because you have all of these people who had died since then, who has an interest in all of their estates, have inheritance tax consequences, and it could be a real
mess,
quagmire. Yes, a real mess.
So that 30-day cash buyer closing in 30 days is not going to close in 30 days.
That's right. And you don't know these things until you do a title search and you sit down and you do all the work. This is not something that a realtor is going to know before the closing.
Yeah, you know, good point on that, Patrick. And you know, I will say that the good realtors, you know, and there are good and bad in all of us, in all
of
professions,
us, yes.
So I'm not saying to anyone, but good realtors like Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate are very proactive and very prudent. They know their sellers. They will do the proper research. They will look up the deed. They will look up the assessment information. They will talk to their person who they're talking to. What is your connection? Is your name on the deed? These things. However, how many times I have seen when the contract comes over to me, and again, you know, you see the name of a person who isn't the owner of the property, and that's just sloppy.
Exactly. Right. Well, and you're right. There's good and bad out there, and we believe that you are excellent at what you do, Attorney Richard Fanucci. We had an excellent discussion with you today. If you can give me your contact information.
My address currently is 1418 Main Street in Peckville, and as I said earlier, within a month or two, we will be relocating to 240 Main Street in Blakely, not too far from the Anchor.
No, and how do we get in touch with you?
Email lawoffice@attfinucci.com or 570-383-0652.
Richard Fanucci, F-A-N-U-C-C-I.
Correct.
All right. Wonderful. Would you come back next week? There are a lot more items I'd like to discuss with you.
Thank you, Jackie. I'd be thrilled to.
All right.
Thank you.
How did 2013 compare with 2012? I have the real estate statistics from the Greater Scranton Board of Realtors regarding residential single-family homes, multifamily homes, and land. In 2013, the median sold price was $110,000. The sales for 2013 finished 10% greater than 2012. The highest sold price was $1.3 million, and the average market time was 122 days. Don't forget to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. During the week, you can view our listings or search the MLS listings by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. And don't forget to like us on Facebook at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Have a great week.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.